Why don't we start with the Pesukim, okay? I had you guys read, okay? Vayisumi Sukkos. Cover these three Pesukim today. Okay, so Vayisumi Sukkos, Vayachanu Ve'esam Bikteh Amidbar. So Rashi says, Bayom Hasheni, Sherei Barishon Bo Miramseis L'Sukkos. Right, that's Vayisumi B'nei Yisrael Miramseis Sukkosa. So the first day would have been Tesva of Nisan. So this is now Tes Zion Nisan. They travel from Sukkos. They go to Esam, which is at the edge of the desert. And now we learn a little bit about how things worked. Okay, go ahead, Tzvi. Vashem. Very good. And then finally, so clearly that's the pasuk that we're going to have to dwell on, because that seems a little bit redundant, right? It just said that the Amud Anan was by day and the Amud Ha'esh was by Laila. So what is this, you know, Lo Yamish, you know, coming to tell us? There has to be some chiddush within that pasuk itself. Otherwise, you know, it's a little confusing. Now, Rashi already responds to that, and we'll get to that. But let's just, in terms of the pshat, establish one thing. It's very clear, Hanan, that the Amud Anan and Amud Ha'esh had a very different function, which is
One for the day, one for the night.
Well, I mean, that's a different timing, but a different function, I think.
One for protection and one to lead them.
Well, let's stick to that. What's the simple pshat, Yaakov?
The Anan is to lead them, and the Ha'esh is to give them light.
Exactly. So one is for illumination. That's the Amud Ha'esh. And the Amud Anan is Lan Chosam Hadarech. They're supposed to follow it. Right? Now, what's interesting is, you could ask another question. Well, why would they possibly need illumination at night? You know, that's why, like, you're traveling on the overnight airplane, they turn out the lights because they want people to go to sleep. So what might the implication be? So they were traveling at night, in which case, maybe the Amud Ha'esh had a dual function. Very good. Excellent. It's what we call today dual-use technology. Tzvi hit the nail on the head. Go ahead. What do we mean by that? It sounds that way. And I think the Ibn Ezra would agree with you. So if you take a look over at the Ibn Ezra, so the Ibn Ezra says the following. Okay? This is Pasuk Chafez, V'tam lo yamish. If you just pick it up there, it says, V'ele hananim imhem shnayim, hayu im Yisrael ad she'avru es hayam. They were very short-lived. They only lasted for about a week. V'nifsiku mehem al dati, the Ibn Ezra Katzer says, and then I think that things must have changed. Right? This version of the Amud Ha'esh and the Amud Anan stopped. Ki ein sorech lalachas v'alayla achar shenitba paro v'chelo bayam. What's the Ibn Ezra saying? Until Kriyas Yamsu, because once the Egyptians were no longer a player on the field, so to speak, so they didn't need to travel at night. And again, this is a massive debate amongst the Mephorshim all the way at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. But be that as it may, the Ibn Ezra thinks that the likelihood is that they were not traveling at night. If they were not traveling at night, it wouldn't make any sense for there to be this kind of illumination. Okay. Now, let's get to the heart of the issue that we'll deal with today. And that, of course, has to do with this apparent redundancy in Lo Yamish, Amud Ha'anan Yomam, V'Amud Ha'esh Laila V'Ne'am. We just talked about Amud Ha'anan Lan Chosam HaDerech, V'Laila V'Amud Ha'esh La'ir Lahem. So, you know, what exactly is added by Lo Yamish? So let's take a look at Ezra. You'll do this one. This is the Rashi on Pasuk Chaf Beis. Rashi is an interesting idea. So what is that? What is Rashi trying to convey? That the chiddush of this pasuk is not what we already knew, Eitan, necessarily, that the Anan was leading them by day and the Esh was leading them by night, but... Right. So that the Jewish people always were accompanied. Lo Yamish is to say, Echad Hishlim Masil Chavera. So let's say it was getting close to sunset, so, you know, it's the changing of the guard. Amud Anan should be changing over to the Amud Esh. The Amud Esh would be present before the Amud Anan, so to speak, slipped away. And let's say it's coming to dawn, so the Amud Esh would be giving way to the Amud Anan. The Amud Anan would be coming first. Now, that image, Avi, what does that bring to mind? That's interesting. But, you know, would it made it such a big difference if it was the 5-second interval? So, how does this connect to what we were learning just last week? This appears to be a very direct connection. Benny? Delightful. So Benny is not just correct, he's absolutely correct. If the Jewish people had this feeling of terror and fright, remember that comment to the Sforno, you can arm them to the teeth, it makes no difference if their heart is terrified. So what did God ensure that they had? That there wasn't even a second that would go by, Hanan, without them having a sense that God is with us. Of Tmidius, of this constant Hashras Hashchina. And I don't really think that point can be overstated. Right? They were deeply anxious, and what they needed really more than anything else was the sense that God was traveling with them. We'll see, starting tomorrow, why that was so important. But we already have a sense of the importance of that. Now, again, God understands the psychology of the people. This is a people that's, you know, been through everything in terms of Sheba and Mitzrayim. And so what we've now really come to is an understanding that the Amud Anan and Amud Esh don't only have what we call pragmatic or instrumental purposes. They do, right, to lead the way. And we define this, especially according to the Ibn Ezra, that the Amud Esh has that dual pragmatic purpose, namely to lead the way, but you're going to need illumination at night, right? You're going to need night vision. But David, the Amud Anan and the Amud Esh have something that transcends just pragmatic purpose, namely?
Protection.
You're right. There's a psychological aspect to it as well. That God is with them. They're not abandoned. That's very important. That's very important. Okay? So the Amud Esh and the Amud Anan are reflective of far more than pragmatic or instrumental tools. And this is something that I want to develop through the language of Chazal. Let's take a look at the Bavli, Kiddush and Daf Lamed Beis Amed Beis. Okay? So, Hanan, go ahead. Amar Rav Chisda. Okay, this is a very important halacha. A father is entitled to kavod, right? And the Gemara says, "Ezu kavod, machal mashkem, al bishem chatzim, motzi machnes." So, child is obligated to provide in all of those areas, but a father is allowed to be mocha on his kavod. Now, a father is not allowed to his children to be mizalzel him, to denigrate him. You know, that's the pasuk in Kisavo, arur makla aviv imo. There always has to be a certain baseline of respect, but the father can say things like, it's okay, I'll get the glass of water myself, you don't have to get it for me. If the father's not mochel, then the son would have to do it. Harav shemochel al kavodo in kavodo machel. But a rabbi can't do that, right? The rabbi, because he represents Torah, so that's a different thing. So Rav Yosef Amar, this is how we paskin, afilu harav shemochel kavodo kavodo machel. So what's his makor? Shenamar, this is an amazing source. Our pasuk. God walked in front of them, right, with a cloud by day and a torch by night, so to speak. So Amar Rav Hachi Hashta, you can't prove it based on the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hasam Kaddish Baruch Hu, go ahead. Alma Dilehu, the entire world belongs to him. Vitora Dilehi, and all of Torah is his. Machale Liyakare, so God can do whatever he wants. He owns the world, he owns the Torah, right? God is above the law. So Hacha Teira Dilehi, what is the Rav own the Torah? That he can be mochel on it? To be mochel on something means that I'm in control of it. Right? If I own something, I can be mafkir at it. Okay, right? Right? We have a halacha, right? That a person is not allowed to be mochel on something that's not his. Okay, Hanan, go ahead. In Torah Dilehi. He has a kinyan on the Torah. Dechsev, as the pasuk says in Tehillim. Yaga. Yomam v'alayla. So that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yutes. Kim b'Torah Hashem Chafzo. It starts off as a Torah of Hashem, but a person who spends a lifetime learning, what ends up happening is Luvasof Naseis Torahso. It becomes, so to speak, his Torah. There's a kind of a kinyan that takes place. So be that as it may, and we do pass this way, harav shemachal kavodo kvodo machul, and yet the way that this is recorded in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, is that even if the Rav is mochal and is kavod shemshi, what is incumbent on the Talmidim? Yeah, exactly. They should treat it as if, you know, his kavod isn't machul. But shemshi, what's the source for all of this, right? What does Rav Yosef want to say? Where do we see the paradigm of a Rav shemachal al kavodo? Exactly. So now we have a third dimension. First, we talked about the pragmatic aspects. Right, of the Amud Esh and the Amud Anan, right, which is, of course, to help them travel through the desert. Then we talked about the psychological aspects, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to give them a sense of Tmidius, that he's there all the time. But now we're coming to a third dimension of the story. Right, what this really reflected was the way that Hashem wanted to relate to the Jewish people. By traveling in front of them, it becomes a paradigm of mochel al kivodo. And this is exactly the sense of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, then Avi, I want to get to your comments. Unklus bar klonimus igayer. Unklus was from a family of Roman aristocracy. Shadr Kesar gunda de Romaya basrei. So it was a big embarrassment for the Romans that somebody from the Roman aristocracy, from the nobility, would convert to Judaism. And so he sent a group of legionnaires, Shua, to try to talk Unklus out of this, you know, heinous decision. So Mashchinu Bekrai, and Unklus engaged them in dialogue, so to speak, based on Psukim. And lo and behold, what happened? The legionnaires all converted themselves. Okay? Igiur. They all converted. So what do you do if the first legion fails? Try again. So the Caesar, Hadar Shadar Gundar de Romaya Charinas Basrei, he gets an even more elite legion to go after them. Amr Lahu, and he gives them a little bit of advice. Don't try to talk to him about spirituality. Just grab him. Lo same relay velo midi. Don't get him into a discussion with him about theology. He'll run circles around you. So kiavu shakli va'aslu. So when they arrived to bring Unculus, who was again the nephew of the Caesar, back to Rome. Kiavu shaklu va'aslu. So amalehu emalechu milsa be'alma. So he says, okay, I know you guys aren't allowed to talk, with me about Torah, but let's just talk, generally. So they say, okay, that won't violate our rules of engagement. So he says the following. Okay, Be'alma nifuria nakanura kame pifuria, pifuria la duchsa, duchsa la hegmona, hegmona la kuma, kuma minura mekame inchi. So Amri Leilo. So Uncle says, look, the private holds the torch in front of the lieutenant. Lieutenant holds the torch in front of the major. The major holds the torch in front of the captain. The captain holds the torch in front of the colonel. The colonel holds the torch in front of the general. You see, we're working your way up the hierarchy over here. What, is the general going to hold the torch in front of anybody? No! He's the head of the army. And the Roman legionnaires say, yeah, of course, that's the way it works by us. So Unculus has now got them exactly where he wants them. So Amar Lahu, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nakat nura kame Yisrael. And then that's not how it works over here by us Jews. God, who's the Melech Malchei Amachim, he outranks any general. He holds a torch in front of the Jews. Dechsev, v'Hashem holich lifnehem yomam. God, right, exactly as the Gemara Masechta Kiddushin said, is mochel in his kavod. God's not out of, out here, for the honor and the prestige. God is out there to take care of the Jewish people. God is out there to make sure that the Jewish people are all right. That's the symbolism of the Amud Eish and the Amud Anan. It's not just practical, and it's not just because the Jewish people psychologically needed that sense that God was with them, but it also reflects the concept that God puts himself out in front of the Jewish people. He's mochel in his kavod. He's there to make sure the Jewish people are going to be taken care of. That's what he wants. To nurture us, to care for us. And then immediately the Gemara says, Igir Chulhu. They all converted. They all said, this is a better system. This isn't a system based on hierarchy and prestige. And this is a system based on the fact that the leader, of course, wants to care for his flock. Mitzvah. So, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chav Gimel, anybody want to volunteer to read it for us? Yeah, Shimon, go ahead. So Rav Yosef's wife would light Shabbos candles really at the last possible moment. Havas ma'achra umadlak esla. So Amr la Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef would tell her, Tanya. Right. So it's malame the amud eish was mashlim lamud anan. Right. That the amud eish was present before night fell. So we don't think, God forbid, she was doing malacha on Shabbos, but what's the analogy here, Eitan? Right, she should light a little bit earlier when it's still Mibod Yom. Right, this is what we call the Tosefes, right? At least 18 minutes before Shkia. And we're going to get back to this analogy in just a moment. So Savra Lakduma, so she wanted to do it even earlier. So Amar La Usaba. We can't do it too early, right? Anybody know, halachically speaking, the earliest time that we would have people light candles? Plag, yeah, exactly right. Okay, so what's the analogy here? It's a fascinating thing. But Rav Yosef, right, and remember, this is the same Rav Yosef from the Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin, who wanted, right, he's the guy who was fascinated. We could call, the Amud Anan and the Amud Anan and Amud Eish, just like sponsored by Rav Yosef. He loved this topic. He was the one that said, oh, this is the Raya, Harav shemachal al kavodo kodo machol. So Avi, what do you make of this image? Right, that when Rav Yosef wants to tell his wife she should light a little bit earlier, so he says, oh, just like the Amud Eish was mashlim lamud anan. Right, just like the Amud Eish was already present before a day went away. And what does one have to do with the other? Ma'inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. What's the connection between the Amud Eish and Neru Shabbos? at least superficially, it's a little mystifying, right? Nachi, what's your take? So I think you hit the nail on the head. What Nachi was basically saying is that Amud Ayesh and Amud Anan represented the Hashras HaShchina. They represented God's presence. Of course they had practical usage in terms of directing the Jewish people throughout the desert. Of course that's true. But what we said is they also had psychological value. They gave the Jewish people a sense of comfort in God's presence. That it was always there. And what Ne'er HaShabbos represents, of course, is the presence of God in the home. Right? We all remember that Medrash. Vayivya Yitzchak Ha'ela Sarah Imo. And then all three things returned that symbolized God's presence in the tent. The Anan Kashur, the Bracha Mitzuya Be'isa, Neros Me'erev Shabbos, L'Erev Shabbos. The Ne'er HaShabbos represent God's presence. Right there in the home. The Hashras HaShchina. And so he thought that was a very good way, not just a mnemonic of telling his wife, this is the way Ne'er HaShabbos should be lit. Just like the Amud Esh came in before day had gone. It's a very powerful idea. It represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the Jewish camp writ large, just like the Ne'er HaShabbos represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in each and every Jewish home. And, you know, as I was contemplating that Gemara, I thought to myself that this could be meduyak in a fascinating discussion a little bit that appears in both Rashi and the Rashba and the Ramban here. So with your permission, if you just take a look at Rashi here on Lan Chusam HaDerech, you have it on Kuf Samach Zayin. So Rashi says the following. Lahan Chosam HaDerech, second line from the top. Al Yidei HaShaliach, Umiyo HaShaliach, who is God's agent? The Amud Anan. V'akadosh Baruch Hu Bichvodo, but God himself, Molicho Lifneihem. That even if you want to call the pillar of cloud a Shaliach, nevertheless, it was really very clear that God was the one that was Molich it. That this represented God's presence in the Machane. And perhaps even more explicitly, we have it in the Ramban himself. V'Hashem Olech Lifneihem Yomam, Kvar Amru Shekol Makom Shenemar V'Hashem, Hu Beis Dino, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yomam Bayom, Beis Dino Balayla, Kein Pira Shekasev, Shashem Shochein B'Soch Anan, God was dwelling within the Anan, V'Holech Hu Lifneihem Bayom B'Amud Anan, U'Valayla, quote unquote, Beis Dino, whatever that means metaphysically, Shochein be'amud ha'esh la'ir lahem. Kitam, as it was said, Asher ayin ba'ayin irat Hashem, vananchan omed alehem, v'amud anan ata olech lithem yaman, v'amud esh laila. V'arisi be'elish mos rabba. Now he wants to quote a medrash. So basically, God is imminent, the Ramban is saying, perhaps in slightly different ways, in the amud anan and the amud esh. Shemshi, that literally, you know, on a metaphysical level, it's like God was within these structures. God was present there. Kilo v'chipazon teitzeyu uvim minusa lo seilechun ki halach lifneichem Hashem. In Yeshayahu it says that God himself will go in front of you. L'sha'avrani uveiz dini ha'isim halach lifneichem shenemar v'Hashem holech lifneichem yomam avalasi lavo ani levadi shenemar ki holech lifneichem Hashem u'masivchem Elohei Yisrael. V'soda medrash hazeh kasher yizkarti, ki begula rishona, when the Jews were leaving Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu imam bayom, Beis Dino imam bayom, balayla, some representation of God at night. V'alasi lavo tis'ala midas Beis Dino berachamim, v'Hashem holech lifneihem, Hashem amyuchad, etc., etc. So basically, what the Ramban is trying to say, it will be even more intense, lasi lavo, but already at this point, the Amud Esh and the Amud Anan reflect the idea of God's imminence, God's presence with the Jewish people. So to summarize, I think what we saw today is really three different perspectives about what the Amud Esh and Amud Anan represented. There was the practical standpoint of providing direction to the Jewish people by day and by night. Hence, the Ibn Ezra says they wouldn't need it anymore when they were no longer traveling at night after Kriyas Yamsuf, number one. There was the psychological dimension of the Amud Esh Mashlim the Amud Anan and the Amud Anan Mashlim Mesoch Amud Esh that gave the Jewish people a sense of comfort that God was always going to be with them. After all, Peni Nachem Ha'am Birosam Melchama V'Sham Mitzrayma, this was a fragile people. You could arm them, but that didn't necessarily mean that they had the Imutz Halev to be able to continue. And it also reflected the idea that God's relationship with the people, Sariel, was going to be one of nurturing them. Harav Shemachal Al Kevodo. Something that was so inspiring to the Roman legionnaires that they converted on the spot when Unculus explained this to them. And if you'll ask, you know, why did Rav Yosef, who again seems to be totally enamored of this topic, you know, why did Rav Yosef, in articulating to his wife that she should really light the candles earlier, why did he use that imagery? It would have been easy for him to say it directly. Why did he use that imagery of the Amud Anan and the Amud Esh? Well, it seems really clear, right? Just like the Nero Shabbos, the Esh of Shabbos represents the Hashras Hashchina, right? It's very clear, and we saw this in Rashi, you know, the Amud Anan might be like a Shaliach, but it's very clear that Hashem was directing the process. And the Ramban maybe even taking it a little bit further with his argument that God was actually within the Amud Anan. Ubeistino was within the Amud Esh, whatever exactly that means. But God's presence was there. And so this Amud Anan and Amud Esh, it represented the Hashras Hashchina within Machane Yisrael. And that's going to be very important going forward as we get closer and closer to Kriyas Yamsuf itself. I think we'll see and we'll appreciate in a much deeper way, you know, what exactly the Amud Anan and the Amud Esh come to represent. Okay. So let's hold it up here for today, and God willing, we will pick it up there tomorrow.